Currently 38 degrees in Lynchburg, 39 in Bedford, 38 in Amherst, 41 in Roanoke, 42 in Salem, and 38 in Danville.
Salem.
Yeah.
That's the hot spot, sound like. if I got them all in right.
Apparently.
It's 7:06. We're going to have Thomas Caldwell from the Free Expression Foundation coming up here around 7:36. And then we have Lillian, and I don't have her first name. She's from, or her last name rather, right in front of me. She's from the city of Lynchburg. She's going to talk about why, in the 8 o'clock hour, why the problem persists during holidays, because people are putting a lot more greasy foods down their faucets and their drains, and it messes up the city's ability to process things.
I guess it was because I was raised by a family that was like, don't you put that down, yeah, down the sink.
Right.
Of course, also, you know, in the South, we save our grease. I'm just saying.
This is true. You never know when you're going to need
it. Many people do. Yeah. I don't, but my mamaw did.
Yeah.
She saved every bit of bacon grease, mm-hmm, or, yeah, you know, or as they call it, liquid gold. It's just, I'm not kidding. It was like, you really want to get in trouble? Geez. You toss out the bacon grease or take some water to the cast iron.
Right.
That will like put you in a world of hurt. Not going to work.
Lily Megan is looks like how it's pronounced here on her email, but she's from the Lynchburg Water Resources. She's the Education and Outreach Coordinator. We'll have her on at 8 o'clock, but I'm with you. I mean, the bacon grease, I mean, hello.
Right.
I mean, that's what we recook our the little Brussels sprouts, man. It's awesome in bacon grease when you cook it that way. Just cut them in half and fry those puppies up.
That's right. So somebody asked me about the, they texted in about the cranberry fiasco.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The catastrophe.
It was the great 2021 catastrophe. So I try to do some things earlier in the week that, mm-hmm, I can. So I thought, well, I'll go ahead and do the cranberry sauce because,
right,
I like to make homemade cranberry sauce.
Right.
Well, it's a little bit, you know, you have to watch it.
Sure.
So you do your cranberries and your sugar and your water and all that, mm-hmm, and then you put the cranberries in and you know, let it come to a boil. Well, it boils over really quickly.
Oh, okay.
I made the mistake of answering the call of my husband in the basement to look at a few things.
Okay.
And then I come upstairs and it's boiled out all over, and there is nothing that stinks worse than like sugary whatever.
Right.
I mean, some of it had been incinerated. It was bad.
Wow.
It was so bad. And I mean, it has smelled for so long. Now, the good news is it didn't burn it. The, mm-hmm, only thing that burned was what boiled
what came
over.
Out, yeah.
So I still got a nice sauce out of it,
sure,
which, let's face it, at the end of the day, that's all that really matters.
Sure.
But, oh, golly, it stinks so bad.
Mm-hmm.
Just make sure you watch it. You just got to, and we just talked about this on yesterday's show, Physician, Heal Thyself.
Right.
I just said, don't leave your food unattended.
Kara?
Poor Kara.
I'm actually more at that. Yeah, sometimes.
Well, I mean, anybody can, especially if it's something like, if you're boiling something.
Right.
I mean, that can go wrong super
really
quick.
Really fast, yeah.
In a matter of seconds.
Sure.
And this, yeah, this was just, it just stinks so
right.
bad. Even my dogs are like, what are you doing? This is terrible.
Well, there's nothing like things that boil over on a glass top. I don't think I'll ever have a glass top again. You know, when this one's done.
I don't
done,
want one now.
We're done.
Yeah.
We're done.
Sometimes I just whisper evil things to it.
Sure.
You know, you can go ahead and die now. Go to the light.
Go to the light.
It's not listening.
It's not listening.
No. Well, it'll probably outlive me because, you know, if I'm determined not to replace it until it dies, it's probably like fun.
So I'm going to ask you a question about your favorite chocolate bar. What is it?
Like just plain chocolate bar
or
candy bar?
Well, it can be a candy bar,
or
just a bar.
Well, my favorite candy bar is a Twix.
Is a Twix, okay.
That's my favorite candy bar.
Okay.
If I'm going to eat just chocolate, it's probably the little, you know, the squares you get at Christmas, the mm-hmm. Ghirardelli.
Oh, yeah.
With the mint in the middle. That's probably my favorite one. There.
They've done research on how we pick our chocolate bars.
Okay.
Yeah, it says chocolate bars come in all shapes and sizes.
Indeed.
What makes one popular over another delicious dud? The study at Penn State College of Agricultural Sciences, I'm sure there was a government grant for this, diverse chocolate world, people find ways to pay more attention to the packing than the actual taste of the chocolate.
Not this girl.
Not me either. It says, gold wrappers, and there's all kinds of different backstories on sure. research that's done on the wrapping. Now, I have to admit, I love the way a Snickers bar looks when you take it out, but I love the wrapping of a Snickers bar. I just think it's a clean look. Huh. I just like it.
And I wonder if the packaging, some packaging appeals more to men, mm-hmm. some more to women.
That's true.
I know my daughter, every year, mm-hmm. she wants like the little truffles, the little individually wrapped ones.
Those are good.
Again, Ghirardelli.
Yeah.
And also you get the backstories, or at least what they tell you is the backstory.
Right.
The European mm-hmm. chocolates and things like that. My kids are very opinionated about that.
Right.
Bryce, even when he was tiny, he wanted a plain chocolate bar. He didn't want anything in it.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want any cutesy designs on it.
Right.
He just wanted a plain chocolate bar. And he wanted that at Christmas. He mm-hmm. wanted it at Easter. He didn't want a cute little whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted a plain, and he was fine with just a plain Hershey's bar.
Now,
and that's all he wanted.
The little square ones, I think those are Hershey's that they put.
Oh, yeah. Nuggets, the gold nuggets.
The nuggets, yeah. And the ones with the white chocolate.
See, white chocolate isn't chocolate.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's...
Some people... I mean, in my family.
Right, right.
As a matter of fact, Bailey broke up with a guy once.
No.
Because
no.
he brought her...
Seriously.
He brought her white chocolate. She goes, I was kind of on the fence, but this kind of did it for me.
Wow. So the chocolate made the difference.
Well, the not chocolate.
Or the not chocolate.
It wasn't chocolate. It's like Michael Scott on The Office where... he's like, and I've brought everyone peppermint bark right. as an offering. And they're like, Michael, you're the only one who eats that. That is not a gift. You're the only one who likes it. So,
interesting.
I don't know. Well, that's...
I do like the Hershey, the kisses, during
the
Christmas
time. Well, I think everybody
time.
Likes a Hershey kiss.
But, I think we were one of the first ones, at least on radio, that broke the story about the Reese's pies. It made the national news.
Oh.
I was seeing it on TV last night going, we covered that 8 hours ago.
It's
a big deal.
Hello.
You wonder about these companies, like we'll do a limited release, and then the overwhelming response is, we really sold 135, but we had a million back at the warehouse that we're going to sell.
Right.
So anyway, they had it's a whole Reese's cake, I guess. They call it a cake or a pie. I can't remember the story yesterday.
Well, the first one, the 3-pound one,
right.
I think it was 3 pounds, was a pie. I mean, it's literally a 9-inch
right.
pie size.
Pie size, yeah.
Reese's bar. But they're like, well, we still have the 1-pound ones. I guess that would be more like a tartlet, wouldn't it? Steve says, do you remember the chunky bar? Is it still around? I think it is.
Yeah, in silver wrapping? Was that the one in silver?
I don't remember. Chunky I do. Bar. I do know that I had a friend that gave my children the ice chocolate from Germany
because mm-hmm.
they had a link with a stewardess.
Right.
I'm sorry, flight attendant. that would bring them this ice chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
And my kids still to this day are in love with it. But it's got such a low melting
right.
point
uh-huh.
that. They can't even ship it here. The melting point is so low.
Wow.
Which is why some of our chocolate kind of tastes kind of waxy.
Yeah.
And it doesn't taste like that in Europe.
It's a preservative.
And I remember the first time Bryce had it, again, he was really little.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, and Santa Claus is going to bring me iced chocolate.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, oh, crap. That's not good. Santa may not be making a stop in Germany he gets here.
Got those down at the gas station. It's the closest building to my house.
But it looks like an ice cube and has a polar bear on it. And it is probably the best chocolate I've ever eaten in my life. But
chunky bars made by Nestle.
Okay.
Milk chocolate, raisins, roasted peanuts. Yeah, they still make them, apparently, according to this. And I thought it was in a silver pack. I haven't had a chunky bar in a very long time.
I don't think that I've ever had one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it like the big cubes? of?
Well, right? There's four of them. You can break them. Actually, yeah. It depends on how you buy it. You can get as many as 12 or 8. No, it's 10. I'm looking at one that they broke apart. You get the mini four, and then you got the one that's got 10 of them in it, and you snap them off, and there's a good chance you'll get a raisin and a nut. But
ew. It's got. Does it always have stuff in it?
Yeah, it's got stuff in it, yeah.
All right. Yeah. Well, when we come back, Governor Youngkin, boy, can I get used to saying that. he has vowed that Virginia will be open for business with no shutdowns. Okay.
Love it.
I do, too. We'll tell you what he has to say.
Do-do-do-do-do.
You're loving it.
When the going gets tough, the tough get going. Tough.
The definition of the word jam. To pack something tightly. A machine seizing or becoming stuck. A sweet preserve made from fruit. A common sense radio talk show. The Morning Jam with Janet Rose and Mark Lamb. Hungry for some truth with a side of common sense? Then you found the right choice. It's the rebirth of Common Sense Talk Radio. We are the Morning Jam.
7:20 on the Morning Jam. It's hump day. Janet Rose along with Mark Lamb. We're so glad that you're here with us. This is Mark Lamb, the old cabinet maker. Yeah, old countertop guy. The reason I say that is I ran into somebody recently. I wondered if it was the same Mark Lamb. And you know, you're with that lady, you know, that does all those recipes, and I've tried one. We talked about this last week. How many guys try your recipes? It's so cool.
See, and that's just a myth that guys don't cook. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you think about all the great chefs, they're all dudes.
True.
So I've met a lot and made friends with a lot of our listeners with that connection through food.
And it's a passion. I told you I watched the movie. I think it was Chef was the name of the movie. It was about the Miami food truck guy, and just a really good movie. Now, it's got some language in it, but it's got a neat story with him and his son. And so, yeah, it'd be worth watching because he just sort of processes things by making food. Like when he gets upset, he's back at his apartment creating something new.
And see, and that's because we were talking about how everybody, you know, some people have food addictions and things like that. You know, my addiction is creating it, making it, and then sharing it with people. And it is. It's like a, I don't know, it's like a rush. It's just something I really enjoy, and I don't know. It's weird. Yeah. I don't know why. I guess because I grew up that way. Governor-elect Glenn Youngkin.
Da, 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 da.
We love him. All stand, all rise. He is declaring Virginia open for business on the day he is inaugurated, the first day in January. No more government-mandated shutdowns and restrictions as the state seeks to emerge from the COVID-19 pandemic. Speaking to state and local tourism officials, he sounded themes of unshackling business from government regulation and taxes, similar to those of Governor George Allen nearly 28 years ago.
Wow.
He says, we will not have shutdowns, we will not have lockdowns, we will be open. Mm-hmm. He said at the Virginia Tourism Summit at the National Conference Center in Loudoun County. That, for me, is a very clear day one task.
Okay.
He drew applause from the audience of more than 300 people as he added he will ensure our travel and tourism industry is open as well. The tourism industry is a $27 billion annual business in Virginia that lost $17 billion. In the last fiscal year.
Wow.
Because of the restrictions of the pandemic.
Yeah.
Virginia lifted most of its remaining COVID-19 restrictions at the beginning of Memorial Day weekend. It marked the first time since March of 2020 that there were no restrictions on gathering and capacity in the state's restaurants, businesses, offices, and other venues. The state's 15-month state of emergency ended June 30th. Virginia has made no move toward further restrictions since, as the state's vaccination rates have risen, and Ralph was probably called to heal by the McAuliffe group. Every establishment wants safe practices, he said, and customers expect that. The consumer is the best judge of whether or not they are safe.
So are these based on what MSNBC and CNN saying post-election, these are only white businesses that are going to survive, right?
Apparently. I mean, depending on, if you're watching MSNBC, yes, that'd
right.
be correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, and that part of that is because, you know, in places like Kenosha,
right,
the rioters are closing down the black-owned businesses there.
Yeah.
So
true.
Which, that never made sense to me.
It doesn't. You
if you're with BLM mm-hmm. and you're destroying the races, the same race that you're
supposedly fighting for,
right? And you know, I watched several of the videos, and then I simply could not watch them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Where you had did you see some of them where there's an older black gentleman in the middle of these people that are busting out windows, and he's like, you know, why are you doing this?
Right.
I spent my whole life building this.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just rabid. They're
right.
like rabid
yeah, they
dogs.
Are. They are. Yeah.
And it's heartbreaking.
It really is. Yeah, it's sad. And they're threatening more. Even though this wasn't a racial event, this shooting by Rittenhouse, they're trying to turn it into one.
Yeah.
And they're doing their best because, again, that sells papers. And it gets them more news. And I just suggest you would be best just not even to turn it on.
Well, the good news is, hearkening back to the story about mm-hmm. Youngkin, he promises to be focused on governing, mm-hmm. not politics.
Good.
The partisan nature of politics in the Commonwealth is best placed in the rearview mirror, he mm-hmm. said. He returned to many of his campaign criticisms over Virginia's governance by McAuliffe and Northam over the 8-year span, which he contends has stalled out the state's economic growth. True.
Mm-hmm.
Virginia needs to grow its economy by 2.5% a year, he said, in a challenge to tourism officials. In order for us to grow like that, our fifth largest industry has got to thrive. And that is the fifth largest industry yeah. in Virginia. Now, it's interesting that a great deal of that tourism has to do with the Civil War.
Right. Right. I mean, they want to come.
And
see.
A lot of that's been destroyed.
Yep.
You know, statues taken yep. down and, you know, all this.
Richmond?
Mess. Oh, my gosh.
I mean, we went to
just
Richmond.
A hot mess.
I don't know. It was 3 or 4 years ago. It's going to look.
It's an armpit. It's the armpit of Virginia.
Yeah. It's going to look different if you're going there historical.
I was in it just going there, period.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the graffiti and the
right.
and it's just gross.
Yeah,
it's very sad. But hopefully that will change and improve. So
yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah, you know, that's going to be his home base.
That's right.
For the next 4 years.
That's right.
Hopefully he can help clean up the city.
But it was an exciting time. I mean, just to go back and watch that.
Mm-hmm.
He, I think, is going to be a great cheerleader for businesses
yeah.
in Virginia. And who better to bring in new business and to understand the challenges of businesses than a businessman.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right. Well, we'll keep our eyes open. You know, I have a great hope. I mean, we were talking about it leading up to the election. If we don't turn the page here, this state, you know, they tried to turn it into a left-wing state. And in some cases, they moved us down the field quite a bit that way. Hopefully, at least Youngkin can help stop that forward motion and reverse things and get us back.
Well, there was another victory in Loudoun County, a Virginia school district, and I believe it's Loudoun. I'm referring to the story of the physical education teacher
who got suspended. The gender stuff.
And said, I'm not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not doing it.
Right.
He was, and it is Loudoun County. The court issued a final order permanently prohibiting the Loudoun County Public School Board from punishing Tanner Cross for expressing his views.
Wow. Permanently. That's usually not the wording.
That's something you got right.
Right.
It says, I can now confidently continue teaching at Leesburg Elementary School without fear of punishment for expressing my views. elementary school.
Right, elementary school.
You're going to want to use pronouns, mm-hmm. preferred pronouns in elementary school.
Right. And it's so funny to say, Lord. For me to be able to express my view, think about that for a moment. He's just naming what the people are biologically in elementary school.
And it's not even a view.
Right.
It's a fact,
right. That's
my
point.
If you have a pee-pee, you're a boy.
Yeah.
If you don't, you're a girl.
Yeah.
In elementary school, it should be just that simple. I'm sorry,
yeah.
It should.
They're sexualizing. Of course, we had the story a little while ago about the Old Dominion assistant professor. The map, mature... Oh, something or another. Anyway, they're trying to soften the blow of what it means to be a pedophile.
And they use the map. The map, yeah.
Yeah, MAP is the acronym, but I don't remember all the words. Mature, something people...
Pervert, yeah. Was that what you're looking for?
No, person.
Oh, okay.
Mature attraction person or something. I don't know.
Pervert.
Okay.
That's my coverage of it. You are welcome. Okay. Like, that's not going well for that guy, girl, person.
Mm-mm. No, getting a lot of heat.
Even the students are like, no.
Yeah, this is silly.
No, thank you.
It really is. It's.
I can see the pendulum swinging.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. I just like for it to stop at the middle. But yeah.
I mean, if you want to call yourself whatever, I don't care.
Right.
I do not care.
Right.
But do not shove that down the throat of our children.
Right. Exactly. Yep. There is no innocence.
Minor attractive person, just in case.
Okay, minor attractive person. Yeah. That's what it stands for.
Also, perverts.
Okay.
Okay.
CBS News Brief coming up next.
We are the Morning Jam.
42 degrees in Roanoke, 39 degrees in Lynchburg, 40 in Bedford, 42 in Salem and Roanoke.
You're not liking the temps?
No. I had a friend send me a video of a class lesson
mm-hmm.
that they're teaching in elementary school.
It doesn't sound good.
I'll share with
okay.
you after news.
Okay. All right. Mm. Okay. Well, speaking of news. This is a story that sort of recycles every year about this time. Salvation Army in the Roanoke and Lynchburg area looking for folks to help when it comes to the Red Kettle campaign volunteers they're looking for. The Roanoke Salvation Army says they're actually seeing more families now than they did this time last year. And the numbers increased because of the pandemic and it hasn't gotten any better. They're strongly encouraging folks in the Roanoke and Lynchburg area to please reach out to them and help them. You may even not want to do the Red Kettle, but there are ways that you can help financially with the Salvation Army. I'm going to give you a couple phone numbers. Consider calling them and saying, how can I help, whether it's financially or maybe standing in front of the kettle and ringing the bell. Roanoke's number, 540-563-5585. That's 540-563-5585. And then in Lynchburg, 434-845-5939. One more time for Lynchburg, 434-845-5939. Help the folks out this year because this is really their major fundraiser for the year to get them through the year. And of course, all these folks that make a huge difference in your area, you see them out there. Make sure you put something in the kettle this year.
The local USPS says if you're planning on sending packages this holiday season, please don't wait to the last minute. Mm. They're urging customers to send them as soon as possible to avoid delays and guarantees that they arrive by Christmas. They say if you're ready, if you've got your gift, it's ready to go, ship it now. Says it's safe, we'll take care of it. So it's safer just to get it there early. The United States Postal Service broke records last year mm-hmm. around the holiday season and is anticipating between 850 million and 950 million packages delivered between Thanksgiving and New Year's Day. It says to make sure we don't have the delays that happened last year, we are ready. We have planned ahead
okay.
this year. Holiday season planning started last February.
Right.
We shall see, USPS. Says they've installed new machines across the country, opened new facilities, and hired more people. So they really think that they're going to be okay this year. But they do say if you want to avoid leaving your home, you can use the click and ship feature mm-hmm. that they have now. You can go online, weigh your package, get your postage, put it in a box, and your carrier will pick it up.
Gotcha.
Here are the updated dates for shipping. December 15th. If you want to guarantee by Christmas, USPS retail ground, December 15th, first class, December 17th, priority, the 18th, priority mail express, the 23rd, although I wouldn't count on that. I'm just saying.
And the prices go cha-ching,
cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching.
Probably $10 increments or maybe more depending on what you're sending.
Oh, yeah.
You'd be looking at. So.
I'd say so.
Get that puppy wrapped up, and the lines aren't bad right now, I've noticed, at the post offices that I'm going to. So give us how long will your story take? We have Thomas on the line. We're going to bring him up for free expression because he may even want to make a comment on what you're getting ready to talk about.
Okay,
here.
Because the guest is who it is, I will share it. So I had a friend send me this story. And he said, I don't remember them teaching us this in school. Now, this is in elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
The teacher is sitting in a chair, mm-hmm. and there are two balloons taped right at her bottom level
okay.
of the chair. And I think you'll be able to hear this. Let's see. Seriously.
Really?
Are you kidding me?
You're
That's what we're doing?
Because kids don't know how to wipe their own rear
ends.
Because
they don't even know how to wipe their butts. We're to the point to where our children don't even know how to wipe their rear ends. Again, yeah. Teachers teaching kids things that they either already know
right.
or, my goodness, should already know.
They should know.
I'm just shocked. I can't believe it.
Thomas Caldwell on the line. You can hear him moaning and groaning on the other side. He's with the Free Expression Foundation, and Thomas has been on the program before. We're delighted to have him back.
Thomas, I can't believe this is even real, but it is.
I can't either, and I honestly don't see how that... we get a lot of interesting cases here, Janet, that I've never heard anything like that before. I don't know if that comes under the... it's clown world is for real, I'll tell you. Mm. This is we live in very strange times.
And I mean, doing most it with a straight face.
Ladies on their edge, most people are just on their edge of their seat over the Kyle Rittenhouse case today. So the balloon, I heard most of that. I don't know what to say about that. I really can't.
What do you say other than you better know what your kids are being taught in school?
Right.
I'm not a fan of, this is a personal thing, not a matter of the Free Expression Foundation. I'm not a fan of much of what's being taught in schools or how it's being taught. I could talk about that for a couple of hours straight. Yeah.
Well, and the thing about it is, we aren't allowed.
But again, there
allowed.
Have been cases where people are, where parents have gone to PTA meetings. Now there's accusations that if they disagree with teachers as a form of domestic terrorism. You can have a full-time news service fueled just with stories about how our constitutional rights are being challenged and violated.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much going out there. It's overwhelming some days, I'll tell you. The Kyle Rittenhouse case, now that's not really what we're into so much, except that I want to bring something up because we're making a public appearance this coming weekend. I'm sure everyone's going to be watching to see what happens up in Kenosha, Wisconsin. But it's firearms related and Second Amendment related. And it's not generally known, but the people in the firearms industry who have been servicing it, who sell weapons and things like that, they've been a victim of cancel culture for a very long time.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you've been, you know, anyone who's in the gun business, they can't get advertising in most places. They're social media, they're pariahs, and banks will even turn them down for services. And
mm-hmm.
these are law-abiding, tax-paying, legitimate, legal businesses, and. So we have a bit of a kindred spirit with these people. This coming weekend, in fact, I will be at Nation's Gun Show. The Free Expression Foundation will be at Nation's Gun Show in Chantilly, Virginia, at the Dulles Expo Center.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's a very large gathering. We're going to be there because, you know, that's where a lot of people who tend to look for free speech these days are hanging out. And if anyone's listening who's going to be there, please come by and see us. We want to hear your stories. We want to talk to you about what we're doing. It's pretty important. And whatever happens in Kenosha, Wisconsin, we're, you know, there's still a there's a lot of victimization that is imposed on the people in the gun business that's got to be put to an end.
Yeah.
Anyways, there's three things going on right now that I'd like to just briefly cover for your listeners. The first off is a very important case that here in Virginia that is very important for Virginia, and this is the one in Charlottesville. Have you been following that at all?
Some. And this goes back to the 2017 event where Donald Trump was accused of.
It's a civil case called Signs versus Kessler, and it should be front page news because this is a case where the organizers of that event are being accused in a civil case, not a criminal case, a civil case brought by individuals that the whole event was put together. As a conspiracy to cause violence.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I started reading into this, I was, looking at it objectively, but then I started to get angry because the more and more we've looked into this at the FEF, this is just a case of what we call lawfare. You've heard that term before?
I have.
Okay. This is you agree with the people who were going to Charlottesville to have a rally and protest the removal of statues there, or if you agree with them or not, doesn't matter. You do have a right to express yourself in this country, and this is something that we really keep harping on people. There's no ands or ifs or buts. As long as you're not out there in planning to or intending to speak violence or whatever, you do have a right to peaceably assemble and protest. But in going through this, we're just finding all sorts of nasty things. First off, there was a report that was done on this case. You've heard of the Hafey report that came out, the one that was objective, the objective report on the whole Charlottesville incident?
No, and we're talking about the Unite the Right rally
that
happened.
Yeah, the Unite the Right rally back in August of 2017.
No, I'm not familiar.
Resulted in a couple of people in the poor woman who was hit by
was
the car.
Sure.
Had a heart attack, if depending on what report you listen to. But The case is that this is a case where a massive amount of legal resources are being used to make a case to basically just destroy people who have different political views, as far as we can tell. Now, the case is going to be going on for a couple of more weeks at least, probably another four, given how much stuff is going on. It's not being covered at all in the press, which is really disturbing, since given how important it is. And there's so much to it, there's a limit to what I can go into here. Mm-hmm. But, if there was a criminal act of planning, conspiring to cause, physical harm or death, you would think that the conventional, legal system would have gone after these people. They did not. If you go into this case here, this is just a case of people with a lot of resources going out and making something that really isn't there. And this is, if this is successful, the ramifications are horrifying, because anyone who just has a lot of resources who can drag you through the court system mm-hmm. and ruin you is just gonna win. And I would urge people to. What I'll be doing is, I think I've sent you or will be sending you a link to the report from the National Police Academy.
Okay.
Of what went on in Charlottesville, the objective report. There's also been a book that just came out on the topic. But there's just so much in... this is obviously just a case of attacking free speech, and it's not one that really should be allowed to stand. And that's it there.
Well, let me ask you this, has anybody
been following the case on your radio network there?
No, not really. And I'm just thinking about precedent being set. If this goes through, the precedent is set and the template is, you know, cast on, like you said, how to destroy people, because we see it. One of the other stories you've been following is the story up in D.C. of those that were arrested on January 6th who are sitting there basically rotting in jail. If you can touch on that here for a few minutes.
Well, there's been some developments in that case as well. First off, last Thursday there was an incident at the D.C. lockup where what was described as a chemical attack, what apparently was pepper spray, was introduced into the ventilation system. There was somebody who refused to put on a mask, is the way the report was, and the guards pulled out a lot of pepper spray, went through the ventilation system, and many of the inmates needed medical attention. We didn't hear about that until Saturday, when reports came out because someone had filed a lawsuit. That happened. It was just kept quiet until a lawsuit came up.
Okay.
And I'll send you a link to that as well. And this is pretty horrifying that sort of stuff is now. It's being described as accidentally being introduced into the ventilation system. I don't know how massive amounts of pepper spray can accidentally be introduced into a ventilation system.
Yeah, exactly.
But people were locked in their cells. They couldn't breathe. It was a pretty nasty bit of work that went on there. There is a representative from Georgia named Marjorie Taylor Greene who was able to get in to see some of these people. She said all the reports are true. It's horrifying. This is a gulag-like situation that's happening in our nation's capital. We have something going on in our nation's capital that's akin to what you'd read in a novel by Alexander Solzhenitsyn.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's not being covered in the mainstream media. And we wouldn't find out about some of this unless lawsuits. We were just going through the legal filings.
When do some of these cases actually kind of get to the court system? How long can they let them sit there without giving them their chance to, you know, speak their case?
Well, that's a good question. What they're trying to do is when you lock someone up, especially someone who doesn't have a criminal record, who hasn't been in jail, and you lock them up for weeks and weeks and months, the strategy is to break them, to get them to confess to a lesser charge so they get out.
Right.
And some of these people are a lot more stubborn than that, but how long they can stay there, that's a question. The fact that all of these cases, they're talking about you're talking about trespassing charges.
Mm-hmm.
How many people have been sentenced, have been held this long for trespassing charges?
Right.
Now, and again, there's nobody really, there are members of Congress that are now getting in there. At the Free Expression Foundation, we would like to see organizations like Amnesty International and Human Rights Watch to get involved at this point. Because it's when we heard about they're calling it a gas attack, the pepper spray incident.
Right.
We're trying to get some people in to see these people as well.
Sure.
It's not easy, especially given all the COVID restrictions and things like that. Now, there is something else that's tied to this.
Yeah, and we only
go to our website.
We only have a couple minutes here. We only have a couple minutes left, Thomas.
Yep.
Only got a couple minutes. I want you to mention the gentleman that has asked for asylum in another country.
I don't have his name in front of me. Mm-hmm. Yes, there is one gentleman who has asked for asylum in Belarus.
Mm-hmm.
He did get involved in an incident. I don't have his name in front of me. I'm sorry, but
no, that's okay.
He did ask for political asylum. He actually walked over the border and was taken into custody.
Mm-hmm.
He was allegedly involved in an incident involving pushing police. And his story is not really fully out there. He's a native of California.
Mm-hmm.
That's where his family is. But once the U.S., he's asking for political asylum from the United States. You can't expect the State Department to get involved and help him when he's overseas. So the story is still being played out. Whether or not he's given political asylum is going to be another matter. But again, when you have an American going to a former Soviet country to seek political asylum, that's something that was unthinkable even a few years ago.
Oh, sure. Evan Newman is his name.
Yes, okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. We have had discussions about his case internally, but again, there's so many things going on right now. You can practically have a news service dedicated to them.
Sure. Well, look, stay in touch with us because I'm curious on both these cases and what's going on up there in your neck of the woods, Northern Virginia, and then of course just north of us in Charlottesville. That case, like I said, it's not getting any real airplay. Please stay in touch. If you'd like to help Thomas Caldwell, their organization, Freedom Free Expression Foundation, it's a nonprofit. You can give, and you can check their website out. Thomas, give us the website here real quick.
www.freeexpressionfoundation.org. We are a nonprofit. We are a tax-deductible organization. So instead of sending your money to Uncle Sam, you could send it to us, and it'll do a lot of good.
Amen.
And I'll be at Nation's Gun Show this coming weekend.
In Chantilly.
Please keep in touch. Follow our website. We do put relevant stories up there. A copy of the friend of the court brief we placed with the Supreme Court over the Anti-Riot Act of 1968. I didn't have a chance to talk about that. That's something the federal government is abusing.
Let's keep in touch and keep us up to speed on what's going on. Thank you, sir.
Take care. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
The Morning Jam with Janet Rose and Mark Lamb on WIQO, part of the Virginia Talk Radio Network. It's the rebirth of Common Sense Talk Radio. We are the Morning Jam.
Hello, everyone. Back on the Morning Jam here.
Say something intelligent. I'm fixing
Mark, the microphone broke, so we're live on the air, and somehow I have to fill in. So hope everyone's having a good morning as we're approaching the 8 o'clock hour. Talk to Lily.
You know what?
They will talk to Lily.
I'm just going to hold this microphone in my hand. Because
you look so smart right now.
It is. It literally came off of its...
Well, Janet's back, so now we can get some normalcy going
off
again.
Off of its access here, so...
His mic fell.
It's live radio, so we're going to fix this during the...
Boy, I can't leave you
for a
second.
Well, where did you go? You're supposed to be here to save me.
I'm sorry. Nature called.
Well, nature called on
this
stupid
microphone,
too.
I take a potty break, and we've got cats living with dogs, and things falling apart.
Okay, now go get the bolt that just
fell. It's just chaos, but that's okay.
It's right over there.
Coming up the top of the hour, we've got, might want to at least turn it off.
Well, I'm going to turn it off.
Okay.
Now.
All right. There we go. Bill Trefair is going to come up, and he's going to be talking about all the things going on in Lynchburg and Roanoke and on the south side to get you updated that way. And then we've got a special guest that's going to be coming in a little bit as well. As we're getting you ready for the holidays, I will say.
I'm back.
Well, there
and the
you
microphone
go.
Is back in one piece.
Okay. All right, let me finish.
Finish.
So, well, we're getting ready for the holidays. I shared with you yesterday the story about the Reese cup pie.
Yeah, we talked about that.
I thought that was the most ridiculous thing that I had ever seen. Clearly, I was wrong.
Why?
Well, apparently there are other places out there trying to top the giant Reese cup pie.
Okay.
Gold Belly. Mm-hmm. Has a triple layer cake that starts out with a cinnamon buttercream with an apple pie filling.
Ooh.
Then there's a spice cake layer.
Yeah.
There's a pumpkin pie layer.
Yeah.
And then there's a pecan pie layer.
Oh, no. You ruined it with the pecan. Pecan is a standalone by
itself.
Have
you ever? I've never, ever even heard of such a thing. It's pretty.
This is like one of those burgers that are, you know, 8 inches tall and you've got everything
and
on there.
And it probably cost $1 million. I don't know. But
and it has 3 million calories.
Every possible. Oh, it's just $99.
$99?
$99. And it, original Thanksgiving Day pie cake. So if you have, you know, $100 sitting around that you want to spend on a pie or cake or both, you're good.